I just realised that my microphone was turned down for all of that warm-up. You've been echoing through the back of Muller's microphone, which was turned up, which should have been turned down. So.
Oh, is it this one?
Yeah. What a wanker. Slightly elevated wanker, however. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in Apple, all the things that have gone on, everything that's happening, everything that's going down in the next few weeks, because there is something coming down. But joining me to discuss that whole week, what a brilliant panel we've got here. And it's not the, you know, your average subs bench either, because we've got some real quality people on. Starting us off, the man who has stopped downloading porn so that he can come on the show, Brian Chaffin. How the devil are you, mate?
I need another, like, 3 minutes.
You rebooted your router?
I rebooted my Mac, actually.
Oh, right, okay. Worked all the difference, mate. Your hair looks great as well, mate.
Thank you.
Glad to have you on, buddy, because I really enjoyed that episode with you the other week on TMO.
Yeah, Apple Context Machine. It was a lot of fun. Good.
Yeah, we've got about 9 months to wait to find out more, maybe, who's right and who's wrong, but...
Fair enough.
And we'll probably both be wrong. But
well, yeah, duh.
Yeah.
What we do.
Next to him, from the Bloom Cupboard, Harry Potter himself. You want to put an N on your forehead 1 week, mate. Because you're not a million miles away. Get some new glasses, put an N on your forehead, and you are the man. A wizard,
mate. Pull it up. Someday I'll get out of here.
How you doing, pal?
That's the thing. I'm doing good.
Excellent.
Doing good. Mate. Hanging in there, you know, just... Keeping up on things, trying to stay at the curve.
Good lad. Are you excited about the 21st?
No.
No.
Yeah, I mean, cool. Yeah, I mean, we're going to get some new stuff. I don't know if it's anything compelling. I'm sure we'll get into it.
Yeah, no, we'll see. Let us loop you in. We'll talk about whether that means in a minute. But next to him, it's Doc in a rather cool Hawaii, you say?
Yeah, it's actually kind of chilly recently, which is a little odd.
What's that, mid-70s, high 70s?
Actually, low 70s, high 60s. It's that kind of cold for Hawaii. It's really crazy. It's kind of almost unheard of. But it feels great. And
do you need to stop so you can go get a jumper?
Exactly. Okay. I have to walk around with a jumper on, as you guys call it. We call it a sweater. But...
We call it sweater too, but just not often.
Oh, nice. But no, it's been good. I'm just battling old age and back pain. That's about it.
Oh, what have you done?
I don't know.
Say you jumped off the wardrobe shagging and it's... No? You bent over picking a pin up off the floor, a penny off the floor.
Did that mean take a flyer off the dresser?
Yeah, jumping off the wardrobe.
Okay, because the wardrobe to us is what's in the closet, not the closet itself.
Okay, the top of the closet, jumping off the closet in your Batman suit.
Yeah.
While Karen's got a Wonder Woman bangles on. And
actually,
and you're pulsing it on the way down.
It was Jeff.
Oh, right, okay.
That explains everything.
Absolutely. It'd be a bit of a hard landing, wouldn't it? Next to him, it's Gaz, mate.
Hey, mate. I'm just doing my hair.
Good lad. Thank you so much for diving in at the last minute, mate. Wonderful to have you on.
Super sub.
Super sub, absolutely. David Fairclough.
He had ginger hair, didn't he?
His hair looks amazing.
Your hair does look amazing, actually. Are you using new products on it, Gaz?
DX9, whatever they call that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, something actually came through rather than my iPhone. Yeah.
Oh, he's got Muller back. There we go. The week in Apple, what's going on, what's been happening. So, first things first... Apple has been granted a patent for liquid metal, and that's because they've got loads of it left now because they don't do the battery or the SIM compartments anymore with it because they use a bent paper clip. Cheapskate bastards. Don't care about that story. We can move on. And also Tim Cook, this is a great one, tech CEOs and top Republicans have attended a secret meeting to discuss Donald Trump.
The coolest thing about that story is where they met.
Because nothing else is, yeah. Go on.
So, yeah, they met in the same place where there was a secret meeting, closed-door meeting, to form the Federal Reserve Bank. Here in the U.S.
In the what, 18-somethings or others?
Yeah, way back when. I don't remember the date. I'm not up on my history. there's an NPR podcast called Planet Money. They did a great episode actually on it, covering the little secret meeting that happened, this little island.
Brian's going to come in with the top stat here. Go on, mate.
I believe it was 1916.
1916. Oh, so you didn't have money before then?
No, we didn't have a central bank. Currency was actually issued by individual banks, and there was little rhyme or reason to it.
So, I mean, the whole world is crapping itself that Trump is going to get into power. Is America, or is the tech community crapping itself that Trump's going to get into power?
You have a couch, right?
Yes.
Well, give it a couple months. I may be over there.
Oh, right. Okay. No. Come on. Trump's really
going to apply for my visa now.
I'll give you a job, man.
I want to say something extremely mean. I'm going to put it out there because I don't wish any ill on anybody. Okay. But I almost guarantee you, if that dude does actually get nominated to be the runner, somewhere between the run-up and the inauguration, somebody will off him. And I don't know whether that'll be the CIA, the NSA, or the Illuminati, or just some random crazy. And I hate to say it, but there's no way that anybody in our country is going to let that dude make it all the way through, because he is literally narcissistic, batshit crazy. It's kind of insane. But it also shows you how fed up people are with politics that they would even think about putting a douchebag like him in office versus the common rhetoric what we already have.
Well, he's got a few people running for cover. If Tim sat down and met with top tech CEOs and Republicans to find out what they can do.
I was, from my understanding of that story, they were meeting for something else, and yet a subject came up. So the headlines reported as if that was the main subject, but that wasn't the main subject. There was meeting about something altogether different. And it was so buried in the lead, I don't even remember what it was, but I read it.
Right.
I love the quote that's on the story that I've got on Mac Rumors. This is absolutely brilliant. The key task now, to once again paraphrase Karl Marx, if you're quoting Karl Marx, you know you're off down a bad path to start with, is less to understand Trump than just to stop him.
The thing...
I was going to say very quickly, last week in the Big Show, I was going to post a story about the interest in moving to Canada, which they'd seen.
Are you going to build a wall over Canada, guys?
Bruh, I'm telling you right now, if he really does get elected, I will definitely be either in Japan or the UK very soon.
Well, at least you got some water. Brian's been really polite, mate. You've got to drop the politeness, mate, and just dive in. Otherwise, you're going to get sod all in here. Go for it, dude. What do you need?
The thing to remember about Donald Trump is that his success in the GOP primary process will not reflect what happens in the general election process. As it is, he's getting not a majority of the minority that dominates the primary process.
So only a few people vote in the minority in the primaries is what you're saying, and they're the ones that are more likely to say yes to Trump.
The primaries in the United States are dominated by
mental
the
health
extremes
issues
of both parties, and that's especially true with the GOP. It's especially true with the GOP in the last 15 years, in particular. He's not even getting a majority of those folks.
The psychos.
Yes.
Right. Good.
So,
good to know. The psycho vote is not his.
His multiple positions on brown peoples ensures that he will not win a general election. There's nothing to worry about here. Whether or not he gets the nomination, he will not win the general election. He is unelectable in the general election.
Have you seen the cover of Trump magazine this month?
Nobody has.
There's
Trump
a magazine, right?
Exist.
No, there's a magazine called Trump. There is.
Yeah, that magazine got defunct a long time ago.
But the last,
and he's been bullshitting everybody, telling him it's still alive. But what that really is the brochure for the resort.
Yeah, but the last cover that it had was basically a woman's breasts.
Oh yes,
bulging out the top of a black dress, and they cut her head off.
Yeah,
it wasn't like even close to subtle.
It's the tits and champagne issue.
Yeah, that's all there was on that. That was all there was there. Yeah, tits and champagne.
That's pretty funny.
Hey,
so here's a hilarious story. Talking about what Brian says, I know to be true, but it has everyone scared in Hawaii right now. Yesterday, Brian, because he basically won in Hawaii by a huge gap, by like 42%, but 13,377 people showed up. there's 1.4 million of us. But the reason why that is so scary, but the headlines just come and say, oh, Hawaii, Trump wins Hawaii. But Hawaii is known default like a 97% Democratic state. So what you saw was all of the Republicans in Hawaii basically voted for him.
I mean, so it's, you've got 361 days of sunshine per year. You're on the only day where it's chilly, and they're not going to be slightly more liberal in their thinking. It's like, yeah, I really want to worry about big business and industry when I live in a place where it's paradise.
No, no. So what Brian is saying is absolutely right. The people that show up for the caucusing, right, are the guys that own the hotels and the resorts and the, you know, retired, you know, Wall Street businessmen and all of that that come here that do literally have a lot of money. Those are the guys who push the economic levels up in Hawaii, because we have a very large concentration of billionaires and millionaires here because of the people that come here to get away for 6 months a year, right? Even in my building, there's a bunch of Snowbird guys. Mark Zuckerberg lives right down the street from me. So it's, you can see where the slant comes from, because those are the guys that are worried about getting taxes. But it's just really funny that people were freaking out yesterday on the internet. And I was like, yo, people, look at the actual number, not the headline, because the number shows it's only 13,000. And that's literally almost only 16,000 to 18,000 registered Republicans in the whole state. So don't let that number scare you, because like Brian said, when the real thing comes through, no Republican ever wins Hawaii. It's never happened. It's always been a very Democratic state. Not a good thing, but that's just a known fact.
Okay.
Totally. I'm going Brewster's Millions this election. None of the above,
man.
None of the above. None of the above.
That's someone's got to run that. Someone's got to start the none of the above party this year, especially if he wins the nomination.
Well, the whole thing is a freaking circus. I'm sorry, on both sides.
Right, if you started a none of the above society or party, you would get so much press. You wouldn't need to run adverts or anything like that. There'd be so many people just wanting that story for at least 2 weeks that you'd be like, that's it.
Yeah, done. Unfortunately, I don't hardcore believe in that. It's just how I feel. But, you know, our process is a good process, and it needs to be
during the last general election. It was like voting for politicians at the moment is like choosing which STD you'd like.
That's about right.
Yeah, not far off. Right, 21st. We're going to do a live show on the 21st. Anyone that would like to join us is more than welcome to dive in on the panel. There is an Apple event. It has been confirmed. Tim has sent out the invites, hand-delivered as well, by no less. And Monday the 21st of March, there will be a breakfast at 8:30. So I think we'll be joining for a few Guinnesses here if you want to do that. And then it will kick off at 10 o'clock Pacific. So that's 6 p.m. UK time. 9.7-inch iPad, which will accept the pen, are the rumors. An iPhone SE and also some new Apple Watch bands. That doesn't seem enough to have a big event. There's got to be a new product, surely, fellas. Come on.
Yeah. Okay, so the loop part right here. Right, you don't have people like to get into this crap.
Here we go, the Freudian dissection of the Apple invite. Go on then.
Everybody always reads into it. So let me
tell me about your mother.
I'm going to make up some shit right now. All right, so we're going to get some upgrades to Logic or GarageBand. On top of the ones we already got.
There's going to be loads of loops for GarageBand. That's the entire thing. It's going to be Eddie Q dancing like your dad for an hour and a half talking about GarageBand loops.
Right, and then you're going to get some new watch bands that are like Milanese loops, but more affordable, because that's the only one that people really complain about.
Bigger.
And there's going to be some that fit fat arms.
I don't give a shit about the price. It's bigger.
I said there are going to be some for fat arms.
Well, okay.
big boned. Let's be politically correct. It says the guy on the other end of the mic that's 250 plus. I can call it fat if I want. And...
easy where
I still
you
don't see
there.
The small phone. I see the iPad, but I don't see the small phone.
Oh yeah, the phone's happening. Guarantee you.
The phone's happening. The phone's happening, man.
Yeah, I got that.
Because of the timing and because of the form factor and because of the price point, you know, Apple's dealing with slowing iPhone sales, and I'm pretty sure this is a good way to get through that sort of lull that happens. Right now, there's a lot of people that are clamoring for that smaller size and a lot of people that want the smaller sort of entry price point. And you've got now a phone that's in spec lined up with the current generation, but targeted at sort of a different consumer that Apple isn't really hitting right now.
No, I was going to say, who's buying it?
Well, think
maybe
market.
No one in our country. Maybe it's for the secondary market.
Yeah.
You think it's all overseas market?
No. I mean, there's a lot of people here. Primarily. I mean, I hear from many people in my audience when I bring this topic up. It's like, I will buy that in a heartbeat. And I think the numbers, the predictions are Apple will sell about 10 million of that model this year. That's what a lot of the analysts are looking at, which at 400 to 500 a pop, you know, that's quite a little bit of change.
Cookies, yeah. So it's aimed at the hobbit fingered.
No, hang on a minute, Ewan. My wife would take that. She doesn't want a great big phone. She thinks my iPhone 6 is too big.
And not a 6 Plus, just a normal 6.
Yeah, just a normal 6. So she doesn't want a great big phone, but she appreciates the fact she can get email and stuff on it.
So she wants a smartphone, but she doesn't want the screen real estate.
No, she doesn't need it. No.
My wife turned down. I had to resell my 6 Plus because I couldn't hand it down. She said, no, I don't want that thing.
You don't think it's 5S. Years of abuse of the fact that you've kept your wife under the technology thumb, you know? By handing her down a phone and saying, you'll take what you'll get, woman.
Here's what I find hilarious about that. It's amazing how much framing can do to you or put your perception in a place, right? I'm under the impression that if you're around a bunch of other people who say it's too big, that you might go, it's too big. And if you're kind of like isolated most of the day, or, you know, you don't really talk to so many people who are into this techie thing, and someone hands you a almost brand new gigantic phone, you take it because it's an upgrade of your old phone. And not that there's any scientific data behind this, but anecdotally, Karen is 4'11" and 106 pounds, and I handed her my old gigantic ass phone, and she never for once stated, oh, this is huge or whatever. It's like she went straight to it and used it, and now she likes it. And I say, hey, do you want the small phone back, just, you know, dicking around? And she's like, no, I like this big one, it's so much easier to use, blah blah blah. But, you know, I know that...
That's because you're staying off the beer.
All of us are led to outside perception at some point. So if you're in an office or an environment where people are, like us, you know, are always yakking about big phone, little phone, I think you will start to take, you know, directions towards what other people are saying. But if you don't really have that outside input, you probably don't even care, and you'll use it as a tool that it's designed to be used for.
Yeah, precisely. I was disagreeing with some of the statements you were making there, Doc, because definitely Mrs. G would not be influenced at all by anybody. But
except that one time you got her drunk and convinced her to marry you.
Well, that was a mistake on her part. Well, she's made one mistake. Give her the break.
No, that's why Gaskin comes on the shows, because he's locked in a room now. He's got home from work.
Play the camera around.
She does. She throws him in there with four bottles of Goblin. Hobgoblin, and that's him for the night. That's why he's got his keyboard and his TV. And
but the last part of what you said, getting back to serious, the last bit of what you said, she's got a device and she knows what she wants from that device, and she's not going to be influenced by anybody.
I also think, though, Brian had a point. I think it was you, Brian, that mentioned it, right? That the price point in the overseas market is important as well.
Yeah.
Go on, Brian.
The price point in the overseas market.
You're being too polite, man. Dive in and tell the rest to shut up when you want to talk.
Apple under Tim Cook wants to cover all price points and is not concerned about which device is going to be cannibalizing which device, as long as Apple is doing the cannibalization, cannibalizing. And I think that this device, a smaller 5-inch iPhone, not only has fans here in the West, but from a price point perspective, it allows Apple to be a lot more competitive in emerging markets. And if you look at the fact that Apple sort of let a couple of generations go on the 5-inch form factor front, the only way to address that is with the new model.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the 5S, the 5S at the moment is currently retailing at £379 in the UK for 16 gig, and 32 gig is £420. So that's going to roughly pull out at $400 and $600, $450 and $600-ish.
Yep.
US equivalent. So they're fairly comparable, but I mean, that's not subsidized, that's SIM free.
Right.
And that's that for 5S, that still feels a little bit pricey, to be honest.
Right. So now you're going to get the same thing replacing it that is current technology. So there's a little more value in there. You're not buying last year's model. You're buying year's model at that same price point.
Well, yeah, but what processor is going in this then?
A9.
You reckon A9, it's the full A9?
There's another aspect of this that's important, above and beyond whether or not we can deduce the marketing reasons for Apple to release such a product. There is a life cycle for Apple rumors. And the closer you get to a real release date, the more consistent and more frequent the leaks come. And this particular story hit critical mass weeks ago, if not months ago.
The what's quite interesting is the case rumors, in inverted commas, because they're not rumors because they're actually showing cases that they're going to make for the phone. But there's two sets of cases from Spiegelman that have come out and another one that's gone on Amazon today. And they're both identical. And that kind of, okay, someone copied someone else perhaps. But the fact that cases pull out with this much kind of singularity is quite telling, perhaps.
Actually, I know the picture shows that they're both Spiegelman.
No, but there's another one as well that I found on Amazon. I've lost the story now.
If Spiegelman's making a case, okay, it's real. I back out. Because they're no small, like, you know, goof-off shop anymore.
But, I mean, they've got to have... Because Apple's not going to release this to any suppliers yet, are they? So they've got someone on the shop floor going, yep, this is what it looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're doing a lot of these designs. I would doubt they're actually in production. They're probably right ready for production. And, you know, they are. Yeah, they've got either leaked stuff or information that they believe to be accurate, and they're just sort of waiting to pull the trigger.
Well, you know,
let me put something in your guys' head, because I deal with a lot of plastic manufacturing and doing the vinyl toys and stuff that with this company that I work with. To do a mold that will handle, let's say, a production run of, say, 2 million, you're looking at a $80,000 to $100,000 PET injection mold. So looking at those cases, which are basically, PVC or polyurethane, you got to make a polished steel mold, which is very expensive and very time consuming to make. For them to get as far as to have those photos before they're ready, unless they're very good CGs, it takes them at least a week to generate that mold. So if the phone is going to come out or get announced on the 21st and given a standard, you know, 7 to 10 day lead, they almost got to have those molds ready to go. So somebody at a company like Spiegelman is pretty much guaranteeing that this is coming out. And also, those molds aren't cheap, right? And so once you generate that, you look at a case company like Spiegelman, they'll have 5 or 6 different cases. You're asking them to drop almost $500,000 on guessing.
No, but I mean, these things, they'll 3D print them for prototyping.
Right. No, I'm not talking about for the picture. But I'm saying in order to be ready to run and have cases ready on launch day or a couple of days after launch day, they're almost in production now.
Right.
So they're cutting molds now based off of somebody at Foxconn telling them the dimensions. Or like Belkin and Griffin, Griffin and Mophy rather, they get told from Apple, like, these are the specs, because they're pretty much always ready on day one. Spec, Griffin and Mophy are almost ready on day one, almost always. So they've been giving handed that design guide, which you can download from the internet, like a couple weeks ahead of time.
Yeah.
Sorry, I missed the start. Have these pictures actually been released by the manufacturer of the case?
Yeah, speaking of putting these
They're on Amazon.
They're on Amazon, yeah.
And is the case listed for sale or pre-order?
No, there's the Spiegelman one's not on Amazon at all. And I found one that I still can't find the thing for. I can't remember the name of it. But there's that's on there for... on Amazon.
What's the new phone called again?
But again, I mean, I'm pretty convinced these are either renders or, like you were saying,
they'd be 3D printed.
These look like they're probably renders.
Yeah.
To be honest.
But
they're assuredly renders.
Well, yeah, but the thing that I, as I said, the thing that struck me was location and controls. The location of controls was consistent on both models, and that's what struck me as like, oh, that's quite interesting. Because there's got to be people at Foxconn who are purchasable. I'm sorry. You know, where there is, you know, there's, you may not see the device leave the factory or anything like that because there'd be bag checks and all that kind of thing, but the dimensions are in someone's head. Someone stood there with a ruler and gone, it's this, it looks exactly like that. Because I made the iPhone 5. I made a million of the iPhone 5s, therefore.
Okay, wait, but I gotta point something out to you that rarely, I swear to you, I've been there, I got pictures to back it up. There's no humans in the actual iPhone thing. However, there are guys at Foxconn who generate the machines that generate the iPhones. The actual iPhone production, there's no human involvement. It's all done in a dark room. It's 100% robotic. But you can, to your point, Ewan, take the measurements from making the machines that do the dipping and the component structuring and all of that. You could take that level.
Yeah, but the boards and the components might be assembled, but they're not. The way that those things are boxed, they are boxed by people, mate. That's not an automated process.
Yeah, we're talking about assembly. So I'm saying somebody, you're right, somebody can give the dimensions, but I just want to point out that there are no actual people in the iPhone factory itself. Putting them together in boxes, that's a different subject. Like, those come out, they get, you know, yeah, that's inter-tested, hand-tested and all of that. That's true. But just want to let people know, because, you know, every time these stories come about the kids in the iPhone factory getting, you know, beat up by their bosses, it's kind of BS because there's no people in the iPhone factory and who not.
Okay.
And all of which is mostly irrelevant because Apple, I think we've seen the last four generations of iPhones have actual product hit the rumor sites weeks in advance. And before the rumor sites are getting them, the case makers are getting them.
Yes.
Because they're paying.
Yeah. No.
And not only is the case makers who start the original leaks, right? Most people find stuff through looking at cases.
Well, talking of case makers, there's also a 9.7-inch iPad Pro with smart connector on it, allegedly, coming.
Yep.
Aftermarket case for new iPhone 7 lines, 7.9-inch iPad Pro. So this is an iPad Air, effectively, but it's they're talking about it having the smart connector to use with the keyboard. Which will mean another keyboard, and they're talking about integration with the pen.
It's more accurate to call it a 9.7-inch iPad Pro. It's basically the iPad Pro shrunk down. Every other spec and thing that we've been hearing about it is exactly the same. Quad speakers, the smart connector, the pen
support. Air with Pro functionality. You can make the same argument either way. Don't give me this. Fight.
I like Boulder Dash. I'm stuck on that one yet.
I mean, it's an iPad Air form factor, and if it has some functionality from the Pro line, that doesn't
it has all the functionality from the Pro line, though. Not just some, right?
So we're saying this is a shrunk iPad Pro.
Yeah.
Well,
or
as Brian pointed out, an Air with all the Pro functionality.
iPad Air Pro? No, that name is too dumb. So iPad Pro Nano?
The latest rumors, to Brian's earlier point of, you know, rumors heating up in the lead up, all the latest rumors seem to be pointing to that Apple's going to brand this thing as iPad Pro and it's iPad true. Air is going away.
Are they struggling with their naming convention?
Yeah.
No, it's not struggling. I don't like people who say that it's struggling. Apple changes names all the time. They always have. They switch things around and they change things up. And Pro's
their new
hot label for iPad. Pro is their new hot label for iPads that have pencil support and keyboard support. So if this is going to have that, it makes sense for them to call it a Pro.
So is there going to be one that's not Pro, though?
No.
That's the conjecture that we'll put into it. The
point of what you're saying there is if you're saying model. That there is a Pro version, then there has to be a non-Pro version.
Sorry, I take that back. There's not going to be a new one. So you're going to have what the current Air is as the entry-level model, and then you'll have iPad Pro 9-inch, 9.7, and iPad Pro 12.9. Three models.
Okay. So it'll just be the old Air, the new Pro, and the new Pro Mini.
You're
Not wishing to stir the shit or anything, but.
You know, here's a funny thing, and I probably would never admit this if the old lady was in the house. I just got mine in December, and had I known that an air-sized version would come out in March, I would have waited, because I love my iPad Pro. It's the greatest iPad ever. Yes, it's freaking huge. It's like ridiculously huge. Like even now when I use it as my, you know, bedtime TV and it's propped up on this little stand and I'm watching something on the Plex, I'm like, I'm sitting too close to the TV. My nana would slap the crap out of me if I was sitting this close to the TV. But I don't have a big enough nightstand to put it on the far enough away.
But
you
knew
it was
coming. Didn't just start doing this yesterday.
No, I know that.
Well, I mean, so if I knew one was coming, I would have, I mean, of course one was coming.
Not like you're not going to buy it.
We're talking 3.5 months.
I think all Brian needs to do is add "you moron" on the end of that.
No, that works. I accept it.
He would have bought it anyway, Doc, right? He would have bought it anyway.
No,
be honest.
You know, honestly, the reason why I bought it when I bought it is because it was basically free. I was in Vegas. I pulled the damn slot machine. It gave me the money. And I was like, give it back to Vegas or walk right across the street to the Apple store. It was a no-brainer. So, I mean, I'm not mad because it didn't cost me anything but the $2 it caused to pull that slot machine. But still, I would have waited if I know that it was going to be this quick. I knew it was coming, but I didn't think it would be this quick. I thought it would be next September.
Yeah, they're giving it back to Vegas. You know it.
Nah, luckily I was smart, brother.
No, but if there hadn't been an iPad Air there to buy, an iPad Pro to buy, rather, you'd have given it back to Vegas.
Probably. It would have been like making it rain in some strip club like an NFL player.
I'd like to read things in the chat room, but I can't find a train of thought in the chat room tonight to stuff it. I'm not going to. first Mac ransomware found in transmission BitTorrent client. BTN client. any of you affected by this?
No.
Good, I don't use good. Transmission.
No one's using BitTorrent. Good news. It's transmission 291 that's got it, apparently. If you've got 282, though, you're fine. So delete and do a rollback or don't upgrade, allegedly.
When you hear of a malware that only attacks stuff you're not supposed to be doing anyway, I kind of sort of just want to go good for you. But...
Well,
you know
that's,
I mean?
That's not entirely fair. There's legitimate
uses of BitTorrent.
Yeah, I know
it's not entirely fair because you can use BitTorrent for normal reasons.
Is that like MacKeeper attacking you through porn sites?
Yeah, same smell. Wait,
no, I don't like people throwing out that argument because there are many legitimate uses for BitTorrent.
I understand
that aren't pirating movies.
You and I, everybody on this totally panel right. Completely knows that, but let's count. And I'm going to guess, and I could be totally wrong, but I'm sure I can find the actual numbers on Torrent Freak somewhere. If...
There is an Occam's razor to this, is what you're saying.
If you want to take 100% of BitTorrent use, I will give it 10. I won't even give it a Pareto. I'll give it 10% is normal people doing normal things, and the other 90% sure. is people doing what they're not supposed to do.
Brian started so Googling that.
Sure, but I mean, you don't get to condemn everybody because 90% of the people are doing stuff they shouldn't be doing.
But
that's
the
all.
People that know how to legitimately use Torrent for legitimate reasons probably don't use transmission to get them either.
Why not? It's a pretty good BitTorrent client, right? Especially on the Mac. I think it's the preferred one for a lot of people.
And when I was getting my distros through Torrent, I was using command line like you're supposed to. Like a boss.
But you're a nerd.
So I'm saying, so the 10% that know how to use it to get distros will probably do it through command line. Wget and the like.
I think there was a pretty quick reaction to getting this fixed, though, wasn't there? From all parties.
What was that, guess?
It was a shock.
It was a shock. What was a shock?
It was a shock. That's why you said the fix was...
Really, the interesting part of this story is sort of how it happened. So, you know, somebody obviously... and. The people who make transmission, they're not saying exactly what happened, but you can kind of deduce, since it was in the installer that came from their website, that somehow their back end, their website got hacked. These guys put up a repackaged version of the installer. It's an open source project, so they would have had access to the code, and then they threw in the malware. And not only that, they signed it with a legitimate Apple signing ID so that it would get past Gatekeeper.
That's pretty impressive.
That signature was from a, looks like a Turkish company. Obviously, Apple revoked it and Transmission, you know, reversed everything. But it was a pretty sophisticated hack right up into the point where they didn't. I mean, if they had access to the website, you would have thought they would have remembered to hack the hash code, the signature, which is actually posted on the site. So had you actually run the signature check against the installer that the developer had put up versus this one, you would have noticed that there was a mismatch.
You know, whenever I see things about you would figure it out if you run an MD5 hash or something like that, it cracks me up because even though I know better, I never run MD5 hashes.
No, I don't either. But I mean, this is a way, if you're worried about that sort of thing, and we're constantly talking about, make sure when you're downloading software, you don't download it from good known developers. People were doing that in this case. You were going straight to the website, you were downloading the installer, and it turned out that it had a nasty thing in it. And the way to know that, the only way to know that would have been to run the hash check. But again, it shows that the hackers were sophisticated enough to know, oh, we've got to sign the thing to get past Gatekeeper. We've got to do all these things. But then they weren't sophisticated enough to go, oh, maybe we should also, since we have access to the website, update that hash in case someone does check that. They didn't cover their tracks very well, I guess is my point.
Here's what's funny to me about that is I always hear these stories about, oh, this person would have survived if they had been wearing their seatbelts. Oh, this person would have been better off if they had been wearing their seatbelts. And as an ex-paramedic, you know what I never do? I never wear seatbelts. Because I've seen so many times where the sphygmoid process has stabbed someone in the heart because of the seatbelt. So I take my chances with the window and the airbags. But it's super funny how much times you see that and you still won't do it. And so even with this, same thing, like you hear people say, oh, if you'd run the hash, you would never get, I'd still never run the hash. It just doesn't matter. I haven't been taught that like habitually yet. And I think every one of us should do it. And it's good advice, people. If you something you learn how to do it. But yeah. Crazy stuff.
Can I throw out another cool thing that just came up after this that might be helpful for people? Again, I'm probably not going to run this. But there is a piece of software, and now I'm going to blank on the name. You know, a lot of people use like Little Snitch. Mm. Anybody here use Little Snitch?
I use Hands Off, which is a competitor, but it's less pain in the butt.
Yeah. So there's another piece of software out there that you can get that will look for, look at locations on your Mac where system stuff will generally launch and run in the background. And if something gets installed like this, it'll alert you and say, hey, I just noticed this background process kicked off. Is this something you want to, you know, is it legit? Is this something you really want running? And it would have caught something like this. And now I'm blanking on the name. I got to pull up my notes from the last MacCast and I'll get it for you here in a second.
Sticks a link in the chat. So if you want to know where all the stuff is that we talk about, the links to the stories, the links to the cool things and all that kind of stuff, all you got to do is go to britishnetwork.com/chat and scroll to the 10th of March and it'll all be in there. Okay.
Don't it's called, the app is called Block Block App from Objective-C.
Excellent.
Pretty good developer. Sorry. And I had not heard of it before. So
Adam will stick that link in the chat room.
Yep.
And you can go find it.
There it is.
There we go. Thank you.
Sounds cool.
Apple reiterates that force quit iOS apps doesn't help save your battery life. Caleb wrote to Craig Ferengi, and he wrote back and said, hi, Caleb, I know you asked Tim, but I'll at least offer my input. It's like, I know you've asked Tim Cook, but I'll be second best if that's all right. Do you quit your iOS multitasking apps frequently, and is it necessary for battery life? The answer is no and no. Thanks for being an Apple customer. Love, Craig. It's basically saying that if you've got multitasking of applications, closing them doesn't help anything. And I kind of felt that even if you go back to the launch of the iPhone, you know, the one thing that Steve Jobs kept hammering on about is you don't need to close apps. You don't need to close apps. And I'm not aware that that's ever changed. It's all the background stuff is a problem, but not...
But stuff... When you have the app running in the background, it will do background things if it's written to do that. So often, sometimes I wonder when I start to have networking issues or network congestion when I'm using an app, I'll notice I'll have a lot of apps open that may be doing background updates or background refreshes, and I will close those down. And, you know, maybe it's just you know, the, you know, a false effect, but it seems like things get a little bit better when I don't have a ton of stuff sort of sitting there in the background. So maybe there's no, you know, technical reason for it, but just the mental state of, oh, I think it runs better. I don't know. Maybe that's also
tech support
a benefit.
By truthiness.
Yeah.
So I just find it incredible that Craig sat down and wrote an email to this dude.
Oh, they Apple execs do that all the time.
Yeah, they do that all the time.
What, like 10 a month? 10 a year?
No, it's probably more than 10 a month. Because I people used to send in like comments from the Genius Bar, and we would get the feedback loop back to us at either the next or the next Apple. It's called the Daily Apple. When you walk in and you clock in, you got to stand in this little vestibule, and the manager gives you a little ha-ha, hoorah, you know, just have a cup of Kool-Aid speech. And they would always have feedback, and a lot of times it would come directly from the bosses.
Cool. That's impressive.
Yeah, they're very, 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 very hands-on. Like, I this is a scary story. So I got into this pissing contest with this lady about, she was a photographer, she said, and she travels all around the world taking these pictures. And remember when the plastic MacBooks would crack top cases?
Yep.
Right? So this lady came in and she's about to get her like fifth top case replaced, and she's having the cow and she's screaming and yelling, and I'm like, okay, it's going to take me like 20 minutes. Normally we put you in the next day, but you know, you're kind of in a hurry, so I'll go ahead and get it knocked out for you. And she was going on and complaining, well, I don't really appreciate the fact that this thing talks. I'm a professional and I travel all around the world and I do this and I do that and blah, blah, blah. And I go, ma'am, you know, let me be the one to point out to you, if you're using this professionally, especially for photography, and you're going to travel a lot with it, and you're always throwing it around in a bag that's not a computer bag. She had like a messenger bag.
Did with you say all don't kind be a extra, tight ass?
Yeah, with everything in it. I says, maybe you need to switch to a pro model designed for professionals with an aluminum case where this problem would never happen. Now, granted, we'll take care of it because it's under warranty. We're going to cover this for the next 3 years, even though your warranty expired, because that's what the plan says. But you should have probably, as a professional, bought a MacBook Pro. That's what it's there for. And she got mad and started yelling at me and like cussing me out. And I'm like, well, you told me you're a professional. Why would you not buy the professional computer? I was like, look, if you want to complain, here's an email. Email sjobs@apple.com and tell them what you think about this. I'm going to back and fix this computer. So I haul off in the back. I'm working on the computer, and then a red phone at the store rings. And they're like, yo, you need to go to the manager's office right now. And it was literally somebody from Steve's office, like, yo, we got this email with saying to the customers, sorry, you. And I was like, holy crap, that just totally happened. But literally the bat phone rang and I almost got reamed. But I stood, they told me to apologize late. I'm like, no, I'm going to stand my ground because point blank, you can't buy a consumer product, use it as a professional style, and then keep breaking it and then blame it on totally on us. And yeah.
Yeah, fair
it's
enough.
It's reamed, not rim. Reamed, Mueller Breck Prevert.
Ugh, reamed. Fair enough, Doc. Okay, mate.
Wow.
See, Mueller just threw it off because he made that dumb sophomore comment. Now, all the important part of that, which is the managers actually pay attention to all of their retail, including the highest level. That was the important part, is that when Steve's office called, you normally screwed up.
Yeah, no, I just, wow.
I don't think too many other companies do it, you know, and that's the point. I don't think a lot of other companies, they're actually paying attention enough where they were clearly interact with the retail on the time basis of that close. That's my
point. Yeah. I mean, even if it is 10 a month or 10 a week or whatever it might be, name one other company where you can email directly a top executive and get any reply.
Richard Branson, any percent of the time. Let's put it in the chat room. He got an email from Richard Branson once. And he's also got an email from Jeremy Corbyn, he told me today as well. So
I've got a Twitter thing from him as well.
This is not a debate as to whether top companies... high executives
true.
Send emails or what, is it? I mean, they do.
That's
do
true.
It.
Yeah, Hillary sends lots of emails.
I just thought they'd have a person They'd have a person that does. That's all I was thinking.
That's what I was thinking.
Now, I take the piss out of Craig Ferengi, I can't even say his name, Craig Ferengi, an awful lot.
Ed Origi.
Ferengi.
Not that hard.
Ed of acquisitions. He is Quark, mate, of Apple. He's the Quark of Apple.
Depend you win.
No, I take the piss out of him, somewhat rotten for it, because I can't say his name. But the San Bernardino DA is frigging Quark. Look.
Yeah.
He is Quark. And I've tried to get a picture of Quark up, and it won't let me put it on, apparently. I don't know why, but he looks exactly like Quark of Deep Space Nine. There is no question.
But with more crazy.
But yeah, exactly. Now, he's the head of the district attorney's office, not acquisitions. And he says the shooter's iPhone could harbor a dormant cyber pathogen.
Ooh. No. Gary. A lying dormant.
Pathogen. Oh, go on.
Lying, dormant.
Lying. So it's an untruthful dormant pathogen.
What exactly a lying dormant cyber pathogen is remains a mystery.
Oh no, you're joking! I was hoping you'd tell me, Brian, because I have no frigging clue what bollocks he's talking.
No one knows. I
know what a pathogen is.
It's gibberish.
He doesn't even know. Later in an interview, someone asked him about it, and he said he made it up.
Really?
Yes.
Well, he's ahead of mergers and acquisitions, so. Clearly.
He made it up, and then he was just trying to illustrate the point that they don't know what's
now,
on it.
He's now got IP on it, so you watch out for the suing that goes ahead.
They need to know.
I'm still stuck on the fact that he looks like Quark.
Oh, he does! Look at him!
I put a picture link in the chat room so you can see the Quark picture, but it's freaking hilarious.
It's him, man! Hang on, I'll get that up. Hang on. You ready? I'm gonna double time between the two of them. And you'll see.
It's okay. Classic, bro. It's literally the best thing I've seen in this show in 2 years.
Only their mothers can tell them apart.
It's right up there with Jeff's remote control special toy.
There you go. Look, see? One, two. One, two.
Oh, my goodness. That's so classic.
It's Quark. I'm telling you.
So the actor's name is Armin Shimerman, and or Shimerman. I'm not sure how to pronounce that.
Are you telling me this is his son or something?
And he did a part as a principal on Buffy for a couple of years that was just fantastic. He's a great actor. I like that guy.
He's excellent because he looks like he can do a great impression of the San Bernardino DA.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Well, if they ever do a TV movie, they know who to call.
There you go. Look, only their mothers can tell them apart.
Only Quark's more innocent.
And they're in different quadrants of the galaxy
as
well.
Hey, Armin Shimerman is from Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Who did he play in Breaking Bad?
Is that the guy from Breaking Bad too? Oh, no, he's different. He looks like the guy Mike from Breaking Bad.
There we go. I thought that was a story. I couldn't give a stuff about what they say. But they have closed ranks at Apple over the FBI thing. I've kept it till last because I didn't want to... clutter up the
yeah,
show.
That's
with
the
it.
Same guy, by the way, Doc. Yes,
it is the same guy.
Right,
okay. It is, yes. Mike from Breaking Bad.
Yes,
and Better Call Saul.
Yeah, he's a bad dude.
Nice. See, Brian, you didn't even catch that.
Skid guard on the door in the corner.
Fair enough.
All right. Okay. More. Cool. Thank you. Craig Ferengi says FBI wants to turn back the clock to less secure times. And also Eddie Q has sat down and said, where does it stop? Pretty soon they'll ask us to turn on your microphones and cameras all the time. Holy shit.
That's the thing that bothers me.
Tim's gone. Listen, fellas, get yourself on a show, right? Go on a podcast, do anything. Write an email. That'll help. There you go. And just say any bollocks that comes out of your head that will help us with the FBI. Doesn't matter if it's true or not. When's truth got in the way of a good story?
Yeah. To imply that if Apple's forced to unlock the iPhone in the San Bernardino case, that instantly the U.S. is going to start activating our smartphone cameras to spy on us or our mics to spy on us is a little bit of a stretch.
At no point did he say instantly, and it's not out of the realm of possibility. It is hyperbolic for sure, but
okay.
The notion that a line in the sand be drawn is not some sort of outrageous notion to me.
I have enough faith. We have enough checks and balances that it's not going to turn into the, you know, that dramatic of a police state.
Not without some oversight.
Where have you been for the last 15 years?
Go on.
Look at all the things that were happening without oversight.
He doesn't say a word for an hour and then this. Come on, Brian. There is loads of stuff that's been happening without oversight, and I can't defend at all the actions of the NSA. And we have lost oversight in this country to a certain degree.
Yep.
By quite some degree, actually. I wrote a blog post about it the other week, that, you know, the courts are not involved in the overseeing of digital communications anymore, and it's going to get far worse under the new legislation that's planned. But this is bollocks. What they're talking about is exponentially further down the line, and it's utter bollocks in the current situation. And that's going to stop.
I feel like it's bollocks in the current situation, of course, but at the same token, there are some crazy things going on that once you find out they're going on, you say to yourself, how has it gone this long and there's been a problem? And, you know, there's the NSA thing, and then there's also, like right now, this whole point of blocking the nomination of a Supreme Court justice when the Second Amendment says you shall, not you might or you can or if you want to. It says the president shall, point blank, period, stop, put a person in that position, and yet they're blocking them. So it's, I don't know, there's way too much weirdness going on. I agree with Brian.
There is a direct line between the FBI in this case being able to order the creation of an insecure operating system that can be used to crack iPhones, to down the line having microphones remotely turned on. Harvard released a white paper on just this about 3 or 4 weeks ago, talking about the fact that the Internet of Things offers this a surveillance playground, I think was the term that they used, and
they can see what's in my fridge.
Well, eventually, theoretically, yes. And there is a direct line. I think that there is a direct line here. Is it hyperbolic for the Apple executives to say that today? Yes, but it's not outlandish.
What I have a problem with here, Brian, is the fact that this is something which is said. I have this for everyone. You can all jump in here. But this is something which is said to press home a point about a bigger issue, not about this case. And I've gone on to about this constantly since it started. And the problem is, when you talk about the bigger issue about where will it stop, that's fine. But the warrant that was issued for San Bernardino was very specific, very encompassing, and very limited.
Tell that to New York Telephone. I know you keep insisting that there's no precedent here, but that is not the way it works. In addition to the fact that once this can be ordered once, it can be ordered again. In addition to that, at some point, a defense party would be able to have access to this software in order to...
But no, it can't. Because your NYC case has proved that it can't. Because while it was offered and it was issued for the San Bernardino case, it was not offered and issued for the NYC case. Each case is its own and on its own merits. And that proves it.
Hang on, mate.
Don't tell me it doesn't work that way. Just stop for 1 second. There's been one case where they've gone before a judge and a judge has said, yes, that's fine. And the next case that they go for in NYC, which is a completely different set of circumstances with a defendant, where there would be an issue with defendant's rights, it said, no, you can't. Those are completely different cases with completely different outcomes. There is no precedent whatsoever there.
Next, an appeals court will hear this. An appeals court will hear this. And at some point, these two conflicting opinions will be in front of the Supreme Court. And at that point, a decision will be made.
They're not conflicting.
That's how our court system works here. You get different courts making different decisions, and they get sorted out as the higher it goes.
They're not conflicting because they are different cases. They are not in comparison with each other.
Okay, yes, you're right, except for there's a U.S. judicial process. Right. Once something like this happens, it gets written in the books, and now that's in...
Don't start, Doc, because you're talking bollocks, mate. There is no statute.
I didn't even finish a damn sentence, so how do you know what I'm going
to
say?
I don't need to, mate.
And they're in different jurisdictions.
They're in completely different jurisdictions. Thank you, my
lad. It doesn't matter. I wasn't going to say that. It was nothing to do with jurisdiction. What I was going to say, once this gets written into the
West federal
books,
case.
Doesn't matter. Once this gets written into the books, somebody...
There won't be any books. What book are they going to write it in then, Doc?
Tell
me the book. Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. One came down with a judicial arrangement that said I could look in your iPhone. And Jack tumbled down afterwards.
It's the same book.
You ever heard of a lawyer pull out a case of like Rankin versus Christensen, 1997?
So what's the case? Tell me the case name. What's the case name for this? What's the versus case name? Come on.
There is none yet.
Exactly. There is no case because it's not a case. It's an issue of a warrant by a judge. Legal precedent can't be handed down from a Supreme Court, a higher court, because there is no higher court.
Yeah, I got it. But once it becomes a case because of the warrant...
It's like arguing legal intricacy with Humpty Dumpty. I'm sorry, man.
It's been
Humpty Dumpty sailed a war. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and the FBI took his phone and looked inside it.
Okay, wait a minute. We're a bunch of tech people. There are a million legal professionals on the news right now, or in their own blogs, or that have come out and stated that this is what's going to happen. No matter what happens in the case, the minutes of the case will be written into law.
No, they won't.
And at some point in time, someone's going to be able to pull that book down and go, "You guys remember this case from Tittle of the... Here's
which
the
case?
Why
which case?
There's no case.
Which case? There's no case. It's a warrant. It's not a case.
I got it, but do you understand what precedent means when you said it?
I know it far more than you do, mate. I promise you. Jesus Christ.
I've actually set law precedent.
Not precedent. Precedent.
I've set it.
We know what precedent is, mate. You're talking to the wrong people.
Like in the guy that runs
No, he
the
said precedent. He said precedent.
Well, anyway,
I know what he said. He's over there. You're talking out your ass, man.
I'm not, because I'm telling you what the top legal minds in the country are saying. There's
because
no point
they could
in it
get
now.
On television if they said something contentious.
All right, there's no point in it now, but it can cause precedent. And that's what everyone's worried about. That's all everyone's worried about.
It can't, because it's not law.
It can't. It's got to get all the way up to the Supreme Court, mate. And, it's
and it
be
will.
Apple
I guarantee you it will. I'll put money on the fact that it will.
And they'll probably
the
get people.
I wish I hadn't started now.
What else are Apple going to have on the 21st?
Who gives a shit? They're going to have a new piece of software that let you get into your iPhone if you've forgotten the passcode. This show and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They're absolutely awesome. We love them to bits. Thank you very much for their support. And ongoing as it is, we couldn't do this show without them. They're absolutely brilliant. If you'd like to support us, then please support UK2 because... there is tons of stuff that that they can do for you. If you go to britishnetwork.com/UK2, you can sign into your account. That means that you're a returning customer from us, and they'll say thank you very much. Also, if you like to go to britishnetwork.com/sponsors, then you can get you'll get the offer codes, and the offer codes are unbelievable. I mean, we're talking about 20% off your basket. They are absolutely brilliant. So please check them out. They are superb. UK2, we'd be lost without them. They just renewed the server for us, and we are eternally grateful. Thank you ever so much, Dan, all the people down there at UK2, Robin and Sarah and all the other people that help us out. And also, this podcast is sponsored by Hoya, and I've put a really crap logo up there. I don't know why that's happened. I'll put a better one up on the edit. Hoya are the people there's a great video that I watched the other week, and it was saying the average person touches 7 Hoya products a day and doesn't even know that they're touching a Hoya product. If you want anything to do with optics, they're just superb. I used Hoya on all of the filters and those kind of things that I use on the end of my lenses for work are all Hoya based. But I also wear the glasses. These are Hoya Avantech glasses here, provided for me, and they are provided specifically for the purposes of use in the studio. So the focal length, the top of the varifocal is to the camera, and then the one for the bottom is to the screens. And they were produced for me. Hoya have also produced... have you seen one of those little guys? Have you seen the ones that the... what do you call them? The things you put on the back of your camera, and it creates like an eyepiece. So you can look at the LCD screen. Well, I had one of those, and it had gone out of completely out of focus for me. I mean, my eyes had got so bad I couldn't use it anymore. And there is a little diopter thing on it that you know, that would be great. But Mark from Hoyer, when he was down last time, said, oh, I can have a look at that for you if you like. So I said, well, go for it, take it, see if you can adjust it in any way. And they ground me a brand new lens for the inside that will last me for 5 years. So that the diopter now will actually focus exactly right for me. So thank you to Hoyer, and please support Hoyer. If you want to know more about Hoyer products, particularly things like the glasses that we've got, then go to podcasts@hoyer.co.uk, send them an email and say, I heard about you on BTN, please can you tell me some more about the Avantech glasses, because they are well worth it. They're not the cheapest of glasses, but there's a lot of people in the network now have got them, and they say they are the best thing since sliced bread. So talk to them, talk to Backwench, talk to Martin Kelly, because they're the ones that have had it. Cool. It's time for the cool thing. Brian, do you have a cool thing for us?
I do. Did you happen to see the bit? I could go with the Winter Garden or the Candelo Vibrophase. Based on the name, which one would you want to hear about?
Just put a link in the chat room, mate, and tell us what you want to talk about. It's your pick, mate, not mine.
I can't get the chat room to open. I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
I'll pull the link for you, Brian.
Thank you. Do pick one for me, Adam.
How about the Candela?
The Candela, that sounds better. I got Condoleezza Rice when I just tried to type it into Google, though.
Candela, well, plus this lot of like anything that vibrates.
By a company called ZVEX. It's a guitar pedal, but it's a guitar pedal that actually uses mechanical energy and mechanical processes to affect the way the sound is being processed. And it has a steampunk design, and it is astounding. It looks like a piece of sculpture. Actually, what it looks like is a piece of steampunk sculpture that looks like it should do something, but you know it doesn't because it's steampunk sculpture. But this is actually a guitar pedal. And it's just, it is amazing looking, and it is amazing sounding. And it is powered by a tea-light candle. It has a Stirling engine in it that's moving a wheel, and then it uses a neodymium magnet to control the speed of the wheel. It's amazing looking, and it costs $5,900. So for once, I have not made you.
So you own one then?
I have not brought something that you're going to have to buy.
Do you own one then?
No.
Is it on Amazon?
It is not. They're taking orders for it at ZVEX. It's a boutique.
The world's first candle-powered guitar effects pedal. The Candelo Vibrophase.
Yeah, it does vibrato and it does phasing both. It sounds amazing.
And it's powered by a T-Light.
Yes.
Doc, I take it the YouTube video you've got there is this thing working?
Yes.
Yes.
Brilliant.
And I gave you the link to the company.
Yes, it's in the chat.
It's pretty trippy looking when you see it.
Thanks, Adam.
It looks like that movie. I forgot the name.
Time Machine. H.G.
Time
Wells.
Time Machine. There we go. That's what I was trying.
Yeah,
to say.
I mean, it's you know those machines that you used to hand crank, and you'd either have the horses running around, or you had the expensive one, which was like the planetary systems circulating around each other. You know, and the Victorian things, and you crank it, and it would move around.
Yeah,
it looks like that.
Steampunk in a nutshell.
Yeah, absolutely.
Except that this actually does something.
So you haven't got one. Have you used one?
No, I've only seen it. I've talked to the company. I've not seen it. I've only heard it on the video.
That was a begging conversation, was it? Please, could I have a review unit?
Yeah, yeah. You know what? What you really need, I know that you've got guitar people paying attention to this, but what you really need is some exposure at a Mac site. That's just going to blow sales off out the door on this.
And I'm willing to give you that for the price of a free one.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So he told me, by the way, that each one has 77 hours of machine billable hours in a machine shop, and that of course doesn't count the design time and whatnot. It's just I think it's beautiful.
Well, the only problem you've got is you'd probably buy one of these if you had the money to do it, and at the end of it go, well, it's okay, and then you'd use it as a doorstop.
Well, all right, put it on a shelf.
Yeah.
I'd like to record with it. I would love to record with it. I mean, it's certainly not the kind of thing you'd want to take to a show with you, because that would be ridiculous.
I mean, has it got like a precision setup? Could you put it out of calibration or something like that?
No.
Okay. Because it looks like it could.
If you had stuff that wasn't out of place, it would affect the way sound was being processed, but it wouldn't keep it from working.
Okay. All right. Good pick. Except no one's going to buy it. Right. Thanks. Adam.
Yes.
So
I am picking, I think I've actually picked this product before, but the MacBook Pro version. It's the Radtech Sleeves. And I'll show you here. This is my iPad Pro. And it's this microfiber case that just slips over the entire iPad. So that's in there. So it will protect it. It's form-fitting. Protect it when you're sliding it in, say, your bag with other stuff. Right. Slides on and off easily. It's cool because you can use it for cleaning the screen.
It's like an envelope.
Microfiber cloth.
It fits like an envelope is what I'm trying to say. There's no foldy out bits or anything.
No. Yeah, you just slide it down. You can kind of see there. But it's funny. They sent me this one to try out, and I got it, and I noticed on the back, I'm like, oh, something happened. There's little slits. There's little slots here. And then I realized what really puts this over the top is there's two of them. They're supposed to be there. And you slide your little Apple Pencil in here like this.
No, and that's it holds
the Apple Pencil in there.
Oh, that's
cool. So you
keep
it all together. And if you slide it in the right way, you can leave the smart connector there. So I can click on my smart cover. And it just all goes together.
Got you. I was sitting there, you think you could type blind and just send exciting emails that you had no idea whether they were checked or not.
So, yeah, it's fabulous. I've used these for years. They last forever. They're really durable. It protects the screen, the back of the case. Again, when you're throwing it in your bag with other stuff, you don't have to worry about something up, you know, your keys or something hitting the screen and potentially scratching it, brilliant. Something like that. Comes in a bunch of different colors. $30.95 US, and the link is in the show notes.
That's awesome.
They're great. I use them on my MacBooks for years as well. They also make a little cover panel that you can or piece that you can also buy to go over the keyboard. Call it screensaver.
No, there's colors as well: fuchsia, indigo, green, grape, and black.
Yep. So I've you can customize it however you like, and they're great. Great products, and
TSA,
I highly recommend
TSA checkpoint friendly. Go on, Brian.
Yeah, I've got a question about where the Apple Pencil goes in.
Yeah.
It's lifting the entire surface away from your iPad Pro.
And yeah, it just sort of slides in there. And I was worried about that, but it slides in nice and easily. And, the pencil with the material that it is, I don't think it's going to damage the metal at all. Against the metal.
Not worried about the pencil so much as whether or not it's going to rip the cover.
No, like I said, these things are incredibly durable. You know, this material, it's some sort of space-age, like, microfiber. It's called Optex. And it's funny because I thought it might stretch out the little connector, but I've been using it for about the past week, sliding the pencil in and out. And every time I take it out, it snaps right back flat. You can barely tell that the little slots are there.
Mm.
So, yeah, I was worried about it as well, but I think it's going to be fine.
$30. I'd burn that quite happily. Except they're in America, so I've got to see if we can get it on Amazon.
Oh, did they not? I didn't check. I assume they would ship to the UK, but...
Everyone thinks that I'm going to be listening to what Doc's got as a cool thing, when actually I'm going to be checking whether Radtech's in Amazon or not.
I'm already checking.
Yeah, I can't do mine right now because I'm checking as well. There's $150 worth of sales just about to happen.
If you throw it in the cart, it's in Amazon. You can... Does it not have UK?
No, I'm going to go to the UK.
It has UK. Well, yeah, they'll ship to the UK.
Oh, the rad sleeve in the UK. No Prime on it.
No Prime in the US either. How can you not put Prime on something that doesn't weigh anything to ship?
I agree. I totally agree. I think it's bogus.
Bogus.
Oh, probably the difference between Amazon fulfilling and the company fulfilling.
The company fulfilling entry. Is just that they post it like 3 weeks later, don't they, if the company fulfills.
Yeah, it's actually not even... It does say free shipping, though.
No, I've got Rad Sleeve, but it's for iPad, normal iPad, and for MacBook Air, and for iPad Air, but there's no rad sleeve from iPad Pro. In the UK
store. The U.S. store, it says $32.95 with free shipping, and it's shipped by Case Motions. You and I would offer to send you one, but the shipping would be like $90. and somewhere along the line, the douchebags will break it.
What have you got for us, mate? What's the cool thing?
All right, so I was in conversation with Vero this weekend over at Alfred App, and it's Vero Peppernill, one of the coolest names in app development, all of the Apple space. I'm a big Alfred user. I love Alfred. As a matter of fact, it's so bad, I go to somebody else's computer and I'll double tap the command key or double tap the option key, and when nothing happens, I stare at the screen like the dog looking in the RCA Victrola going, why is this not working? Anyway, they're updating Alfred. Version 3 is going to come out very, very soon. And in conversating with Vero, like they kind of put out a sneak peek this weekend for the people who already have it. And so the reason why I bring it up, if you are a current user, what you want to do is A, check your email to see if they sent you the thing about the updates. If not, go to alfredapp.com, click on the blog, and you'll see the information for version 3. And then if you have already a license and you're a PowerPack user, which I highly suggest, you can go and upgrade your license on version 2 so that you can get a really, really, really cheap version of version 3 when it drops out. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Alfred, basically what it allows you to do is use a set of keystrokes to bring up like a HUD, right? And in that HUD, you can type really short commands that do amazing things. And one of the coolest things about it is you can do a bunch of workflows. When I was at TUAW, I used to put out, you know, new workflows that I would create and post them up on the site all the time. Things like getting rid of your duplicates in your open with is such a pain in the butt. When you go to click on a JPEG and the open with list is like 20 pages long, you can just double tap on Alfred, type in a workflow written by this dude named Doc, and it will clean that out and you'll go back to having one. Otherwise, you got to type out a lengthy terminal command. But it also allows you launching apps, and mostly I use it for clipboard snippets. And one of the cool things of this new version also is that the snippets will be hypermedia rich. So you'll actually be able to see the image that's in the clipboard that you're about to paste somewhere, so you don't accidentally paste something that was meant for Ewan and send it off to the Nana. It's probably not the same picture. So anyway, I love Alfred. And if you're an Alfred person, you might want to check this out and get on the list to be updated when version 3 pops. And Vero said that would let us know as soon as it's ready. And it's made in the UK.
Yeah, the Alfred app stuff is just awesome. There's that and caffeine are the two things that I put on any new Mac straight away.
Automatic.
First two things. And Vero's great. She lives in Cambridge. Canadian lady, isn't she? That expat Canadian moved over here. And her son awesome develops it as well. Top computer game. Amazing. Yep. Alfred app's a must-have app. If you go on a Mac and you don't have Alfred app, you're a twat. Caffeine as well. I'm hoping Gaz has got both of those, otherwise he's going to say, right, pick your own pick. Gaz, what have you got for us as a cool thing, mate?
Well, as this is the Mac show, and we seem to be really talking about the Mac at the moment with some software, and I came on late, I'm actually going to go for a piece of software which I use all the time, which is Default Folder X. It's now Default Folder X5, which is the latest version. They had a bit of a problem when we moved into the latest OS with Apple, but I've used it for a number of years. It integrates with your open and save dialogues, and it also has a menu bar application. It now integrates with Finder, and it just makes things a lot quicker and a lot slicker to be able to get to places, save files in the right manner, and it's got a 30-day trial on their website, and I think it's about £30. It's not, you know, I mean, we say that's not cheap. It's still cheap for a really good piece of software. As I say, I've had it and used it for many, many years. So along with those other apps that you've just been talking about, for me, this is one that I couldn't go without.
Brilliant. Yeah, good one. Default Folder X5 is the version.
Yes, yeah, it used to be just known as Default Folder X, but it's now on version 5, so they've added that name to the end. It comes from St. Clair Software, who they've been around a year or two.
Cool stuff. Excellent. That's not bad, really, considering we've done we've got an hour and 15 minutes for a week that had no news whatsoever. Just shows we can bullshit with the best of them. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Chaffin?
Let's see. I am at macobserver.com. You can find me on the Apple Context Machine with Jeff Gamet once a week. And my personal blog is geektells.com, T-E-L-L-S, where I just posted another installment to my serialized Whispers story.
Uh-huh. And he's the one in TMO with the good hair.
We're in sad shape.
Next to him, Harry Potter. Where can we get a hold of you?
You can find me at Hogwarts. Also at MacCast.com, MacCast on iTunes, and weekly on the iOS show with Michael Johnston and Jeff Gamet at theiosshow.com.
Excellent, mate. Dark, where are you, sir? In a chilly Hawaii.
Somewhere sitting in a freaking jacuzzi with something on my back. Other than that, you can find me on British Dead Network couple few times a week, and all over the internet's at Doc Rock.
Excellent, man. Thank you very much.
And I'm going to law school next semester too, so I can argue with you.
You need to, mate. You need to. Well, all you do is Google legal precedent, mate. That would start you off down the right path
and stop you. Don't go there again.
And stop you talking complete bollocks. Gaz, where are you, mate?
Well, I'm sure Brian must have been one of the headmasters at Hogwarts, certainly with that hair and that beard. You can find me anywhere. Just type in Gazmaz and you'll come across. You'll
Harry. Find me
on Twitter, Gazmaz, gazmaz.com. But actually, on a weekly basis, I'm over with Guy Searle doing the My Mac podcast.
Brian, just say, Harry, you're a wizard.
Harry, you're a wizard.
There you go, Hagrid. If I closed my eyes, it was Hagrid. You are Robbie Coltrane, mate. Superb. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next week making all the fun of the Mac news that there isn't going to be because there'll be a keynote on the following Monday. But we'll do our best. Thanks for listening. Cheers, fellas.
When are you and Doc scheduling a cage match?
Can I ref it?
I don't fight children.
That's freaking dirty.